From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Believer's Response to the Gospel, A Life of Self-Sacrifice and Service. Dr. Cairns is departing from the usual treatment of Romans, in which many treat the first 11 chapters as doctrinal and then look at the chapters 12 through 16 as practical. As Dr. Cairns emphasizes, the Christian's belief about the gospel must dictate how he lives. The opening verses of the chapter exhort the believer to offer themselves as living sacrifices to God. As Dr. Cairns explains, this is not talking about somehow making atonement for sins or failures in the Christian life. Rather, the believer is to act as a priest unto God, giving himself unreservedly for service to the Lord. In fact, as we'll see, the Christian's zeal for Christ is in direct proportion to his understanding of the gospel. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 1, verse 41. I will, be thou clean. Primeval darkness heard the almighty fiat, light be, and straightway light was. And the Lord Jesus' word is equal in majesty to that ancient word of power. Redemption, like creation, has its word of might. Jesus speaks, and it is done. Leprosy yielded to no human remedies, but it fled at once at the Lord's I will. The disease exhibited no hopeful signs or tokens of recovery. Nature contributed nothing to its own healing. But the unaided word effected the entire work, on the spot and forever. The sinner is in a plight more miserable than the leper. Let him imitate his example, and go to Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. Let him exercise what little faith he has, even though it should go no further than, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And there need be no doubt as to the result of the application. Jesus heals all who come, and casts out none. In reading the narrative in which our morning's text occurs, it is worthy of devout notice that Jesus touched the leper. This unclean person had broken through the regulations of the ceremonial law and pressed into the house. But Jesus, so far from chiding him, broke through the law himself in order to meet him. He made an interchange with the leper, for while he cleansed him, he contracted by that touch a Levitical defilement. Even so, Jesus Christ was made sin for us, although in himself he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, that poor sinners would go to Jesus, believing in the power of his blessed substitutionary work, and they would soon learn the power of his gracious touch. That hand which multiplied the loaves, which saved sinking Peter, which upholds afflicted saints, which crowns believers, that same hand will touch every seeking sinner, and in a moment make him clean. The love of Jesus is the source of salvation. He loves, he looks, he touches us, we live.
Filleth all the earth below.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns. Thank you.
believers, we're told, offer your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, believers are to act as priests unto God. That's the fundamental theological truth here. You're to act as a priest unto God, not to offer sacrifices of atonement. This book has already proved there's only one sacrifice for atonement. And listen, I'm not being redundant here. I want you never to forget this. When you are called to consecration, you don't consecrate yourself to the Lord in order to get over your guilt. Do you understand me there? It's easy for me to say that. There's not one Christian in 100 in Greenville understands that. Preachers mix them up on this. They make them feel guilty. You haven't read your Bible enough. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't given enough. You haven't loved enough. You haven't witnessed enough. You haven't given out enough tracts. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. You haven't done the other thing. And I'm not making any excuse for not doing what we ought to do. But then the whole thing is, you feel the weight of this guilt. Now will you consecrate yourself. Now will you walk the aisle. Now will you say, I'm going to get it right. And you've done it again and again and again. And what happens? You're back in your face the very next day, and you're guiltier than ever. And you're frustrated. And you're defeated. Listen. It is never the call of God for you to work off your guilt by doing anything. Christ has made the one sacrifice to deal with the guilt of your sins forever. And if you feel that you have failed the Lord, and which of us hasn't, we know what to do with sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful, He is just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He has dealt with the guilt. Now, consecration, living as a priest to God, we're not working off our guilt. We are offering sacrifices of thanksgiving, of praise, of worship, the outpouring of a heart of love. Hebrews 13:15 says that by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Our sacrifice, therefore, is one not to remove guilt, but it's one of thanksgiving that He has removed our guilt. We are justified. We are accepted. And let me repeat something I've said so many times, and I understand that it's open to misunderstanding and misconception and misquotation. I understand that. But let me enter this plea that you listen carefully. Because from Romans chapter 6, I understand this also. That anybody who ever preaches the true doctrine of biblical justification will always be open to misunderstanding. Paul was misunderstood on this very score. But I want you to understand carefully what I'm saying. If you're in Christ, God loves you. God accepts you. God sees you as perfectly righteous. Just as much when you're praying, as, let me turn that around, just as much as you're not, when you're not praying as when you are praying. Just as much when you feel as when you think you succeed. Just as much when you feel your heart like a stone within you as when you feel your heart warm with the flames of devotion. Now, that is not an excuse for being cold of heart. It is to say that our righteousness is not in ourselves, it is in Christ. Our acceptance is not in ourselves, it is in Christ. This is the most liberating truth of the New Testament. And I use the word liberating advisedly. When Paul spoke of being justified, our authorized version translators in one place translated being freed. And I think they did it with justification. Pardon the pun. But they did it with justification because there is a liberation of soul here. I don't have to do anything to impress God. Christ has done it all. I don't have to do anything to make God love me. Christ has done it all. I don't have to do anything to make God accept me. Christ has done it all. We are accepted in the Beloved. Now, therefore, our offering is one of gratitude, one of thanksgiving. We are free to pour out our souls and present our bodies to Him. And the sacrifices that we offer are righteously acceptable to God. I want you to understand that. You see, Romans 12 makes it clear that if we're offering our bodies, they must be righteously acceptable. But they are. Now you look at that body of yours. I'm not talking about its physique now. You look at that flesh of yours. The Bible calls it the body of sin. The Bible calls it the body of death. That body of yours is the vehicle for everything corrupt that you have ever done. That body of yours has been defiled. And I don't care who you are or what you are or how upright you think you have been. If you have ever stood in the shadow of Mount Sinai, if you've ever understood anything of the spirituality of the law of God, you will stand before God as a vile and guilty and naked sinner, and you will cry, this body is a body of utter and absolute and vile corruption. And yet, and here's the wonder of grace. You offer it to God, and it is righteously acceptable to Him. How can that be? How can that be? Here's the beauty of the gospel. It is solely on the merits of Christ. Even in the Old Testament, the sacrifices of thanksgiving were always offered on the ground of a sacrifice of atonement. And thus Peter says to us in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You see that? Here's your body. You come as a priest to God. Lord, I cannot offer anything to put away the guilt of my sin, but I need not, for Christ has borne my sin in His own body on the tree. He has made that sacrifice once and for all and perfectly. He has left nothing undone that needed to be done. It would be blasphemy for me to offer anything for the atonement of my sin or the removal of my guilt. Jesus paid it all. But Lord, here is this body. You've redeemed it with precious blood. It has been a vehicle of sin. I mourn its fleshly corruption, but I come as a priest in thanksgiving and adoration to yield it up to Thee. And God says, I cover it with the merit of Christ. I clothe it in the righteousness of Christ. I give it the savor of the perfection of Christ. You offer that body, dare I say it, Christian? Dare you think it? That when that is offered in the merit of Christ, God receives it as He receives the very body of His Son. And if that's not amazing grace, I do not know the meaning of words. There is great theology here. We live as priests unto God. We are both priest and sacrifice of thanksgiving. But obviously, there is also simple practicality here. I beseech you to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Again, I'm going to try and cut through all the mystical language that preachers so often enshroud this verse with. And I want to ask you, what does Paul really mean? What does this appeal mean in plain, simple, down-to-earth English that you and I can understand? Surely when he says, I beseech you to yield or present or offer your body a living sacrifice, what he's saying surely is that if we believe the gospel, we should live sacrificially toward God. We take our bodies. We place our bodies, that is our very selves, our life in this world, our being, our existence. We place all that we are and all that we are doing in every part of this life and every relationship. We take it all and we lay it on the altar of consecration to be consumed in the service of God. Do you get the force of that? To be consumed. That's what I love when I read the New Testament. I see these early Christians, some of them were learned like Paul. Some of them could not read or write. Some of them were aristocrats, rich men. Others were slaves. But one thing they had in common, they believed the gospel, and the zeal of the service of their Savior ate them up, just as it did the Lord Jesus himself. I said earlier, Christianity is not a mind game. Neither, as I've said many a time, is it a spectator sport. So many people, and they say, I'm saved. They come to church. They sit in the sidelines. They're spectators to what is going on. Oh, they have their devotions. And by the way, I'm not minimizing the value of that, nor am I in any way trying to be sarcastic about that. But they have their devotions. They live like a little island. And they're cut off from everything that's going on around about them. But I look and wonder, where is the picture of a man consumed with a driving passion to serve Christ, to glorify God, to magnify Him who died and rose again? Listen, if I believe this, Paul says you must live sacrificially. You must be on the altar. You must be consumed in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all for His glory. What do we know of that? What do we know of that? Can I say that the simplest way I can put it is that the level of our burning zeal for Christ is in direct proportion to the clarity with which we have grasped the gospel by faith. A faith in Christ that really grasps the gospel cannot and will not fail to produce this self-sacrificing life that's consumed. No longer I, but Christ. No longer what I can want, what I can do, what I can obtain, how far I can go. That's why we sang that hymn tonight. Rather it is, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.